Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. The other day, I was pulling in the driveway, Abby was in the car with me, Greg had just arrived home with the dog from daycare, and our son was just pulling up in front of the house, and I thought, wow, this is just such an awesome time in life. And I have often said that to myself. You know, it's spring here in Ohio as I'm recording this, and we had just had a couple of really nice days. It was 6 o'clock at night. We were getting ready to celebrate my husband's birthday. It was like 70 degrees, low humidity. The sun was out. Our whole family was together. And I thought, this is the perfect time. I am one of those people that really, really enjoys all the seasons of parenting, all the seasons of the year, and whatever I'm doing at the time. I very rarely, I'll tell you one time I did as we go along, but very rarely do I think, oh, I cannot wait for this phase to be over, or I really wish I could go back to a different season or a different phase in life. I really just enjoy whatever season I'm in, to the point that I have to really, really think about past events and remember things. Like if people tell me things from high school and grade school and college, I will remember the memory as they're telling me the memory. But if I had to go back and search my brain for things that happened in high school and grade school and college, it's really difficult for me to think of things that happened without a picture or someone else sharing an idea with me. I don't know. I think the way I think is more unusual than the way most people think. And so I was thinking about this the other day because I love to think about my thinking. And I was really loving the whole family being together. And immediately in my head, I could hear some of my friends or maybe you saying, oh, you need to enjoy this time, or isn't it going so fast? And Joey's going off to college and then he's leaving and it's going to be so different. And it is going to be different. And people will say to me, you're going to be so sad. And I don't think I'm going to be so sad. If I think back about my relationship with my parents, when I think about my own relationships with my parents, I think about conversations I had with my parents starting probably in 6th grade, 8th grade, 10th grade. I could think of some specific conversations. And then once I got to college, like, oh my gosh, as soon as I got my driver's license, freedom! So awesome to be able to go where you want to go, when you want to go. And I was good at babysitting and earning money, so I didn't worry about being financially dependent. I always knew that I would be able to provide for myself. And I went off to college and I went to summer school all 3 summers of college and I got extra degrees. And then I went to Cincinnati and I got a job and I got married and I had kids. And I am like a freight train and I am moving and I am moving forward. There is no reverse with Lisa. Maybe you've noticed. But as this freight train is moving forward, it is enjoying every part of life. Like, oh my goodness, I guess if I could go back to one phase in life, it would be the baby stage, just because I love babies. I love holding babies, newborn babies, little babies. I love it. I don't love the sleep deprivation, though. That was a killer. The only phase that I would 100% not want to relive would be the toddler phase. You people who love toddlers, God love you, because I don't get it. I have loved every phase with my kids. And I know that I will love every phase going forward. I loved being a young adult and a new mom and going out with my parents and becoming an adult with my parents in my relationship. In every single phase of life and parenting and as you go, there will be organizational challenges that are unique to that phase of life. They're almost like obstacles and challenges for you to overcome. And when you do, you grow in your organizational strength so that you are ready for the next phase and the next challenge in life. I often would get to the point in my organizing where I thought, well, if I could get this organized once and for all and be done, then I would be done with organizing. Newsflash, we are never going to be done with organizing. And I think that's okay, because it would be really, really boring if we got done with anything in our life. Like if you actually got your house 100% decorated, 100% organized, and it was finished, I don't know. I don't know if it would be as fun as part of the redoing the house and organizing the house is the journey. Now, I know some of you who have not started on this journey, maybe this is the first podcast you're listening to, and you're thinking, this girl's crazy. Like, yes, I want it done. No, I don't want to keep doing it. Why would you want to keep doing it? What's the point of keeping doing it? But those of you that are going through the 100-day program and you're on your third time through and you're realizing you can get through your entire kitchen in a couple of hours now instead of 21 days, you know what I'm talking about. Once you learn to organize and you know what it's like to be organized, you realize it really is fun to make order out of chaos. And when you could do it quicker and faster, it's almost like, oh, I really love the satisfaction of taking a chaotic situation and making it organized. And now it's done and I still have some more organizing juice in me. Like, where is the outlet for my organizing juice? I'm sure you have plenty of friends and family that would love to be the outlet for your organizing juice. So just spread it around. So let's look at every season. And I'm specifically today going to just talk about parenthood as a parent. Enjoying every season from babyhood all the way through your child graduating from high school, because clearly I haven't gone any further than that. In the early years, babies, toddlers, preschool, organizing in this phase of life, this beginning phase of parenting, is very, very challenging. And the reason why is because there is just a perpetual amount of change, constant change. A child will go from one size diaper to the next size diaper seemingly overnight, and immediately you have to change your stockpile of diapers, where you have them stored in your car, in your house, all those other places. Make sure you have the new size diaper. And newborn to size 1 to size 2 to size 3 all happens very quickly, at least it did for me. But they'll stay in size 3 for like 6 months or more. So once you get your baby into size 3 diapers, you're pretty good for a while. Then you look at what they're going to eat and drink. So in the beginning, you either breastfeed or you do formula. And then you move on to different kinds of cereals and foods and bottles. And the food is constantly changing. Ironically, when Joey was a baby, he would wheeze when he had rice cereal. I thought I was crazy, because how can you even be allergic to rice? But we ended up feeding him barley, and then he didn't wheeze. And we did find out at 11 months old, he was extremely asthmatic. But every time I took him to the doctor when he was 4, 5, and 6 months old, they couldn't hear him wheeze, and they just thought I was a crazy mom, which I probably am. Anyway, all of those things. Rice is not supposed to be an allergy-forming cereal. So now I'm buying barley cereal, and remember not to buy rice. And you have all of these things that you're putting in your head. As you're a new mom and as you add more children, what you're expanding is not only your ability to organize a bunch of little stuff, but also your mental bandwidth of not just taking care of yourself in your head, but now you have to constantly be thinking about these other humans and what they need and putting that all together in your head. The mental of parenting is as big as the physical organizing of parenting. So we have different toys that the kids are into, different size clothing, different large apparatuses. So they're in the bouncy seat, and then they're in the exerciser and the swing and different car seats and different strollers. And all of this stuff is constantly being moved in and out when you have babies and toddlers. And you don't get rid of anything because you're probably going to have more children. So the physical organization of babies and toddlers is never ending. The mantra at this stage of life is that you really just want to know that you are organized for today. Don't try to put in any kind of systems that are going to last for years. Nothing is going to last for years. If it lasts for 3 months, gold star for you, because you need to constantly be changing out the items that are going in and out of these different systems. And babies and toddlers need constant supervision, constant entertainment. You're exhausted. Like if you get a shower every day, you're doing fantastic. But they're so cute, aren't they? I mean, to cuddle a baby or go to the park with a toddler or go to preschool and be the painting mom or the reading mom or whatever. One of the things I really value from these early years is how much time, I didn't have a lot of time for my business or myself, but I had a lot of time with other moms. And so babies and toddlers in preschool years, while you're not getting a lot of time to get organizational projects done, you are getting a lot of time with other moms and making connections with women that you will know for a lifetime. Getting to hang out and play with your kids, as well as getting your personal needs met by knowing other moms, was what I enjoyed in that season of life. Now, I will often say that the year that your youngest child goes to all-day school is the game-changer year. So if you have all-day kindergarten, that would happen when your youngest one goes to kindergarten. If not, it would be the year that your child goes to first grade, unless you homeschool. But if you don't homeschool and you send your children off to school, when they go to school full-time, your house and organization will really, really be impacted and change. I love the elementary school years, kindergarten to fifth grade. I love those years. You're still very much in charge of your kids' schedule. They come home after school or they're in sporting events, but you're in charge of what they sign up for. You have fun birthday parties. Kids at this age are really, really easy to get on a schedule. It's easy to set and organize your house. And if you take the year that your child goes to all day school, so that's kindergarten or first grade, and devote that year to organizing your house, that organization will stay for 3 to 5 years. It really, really will. So often when I was professionally organizing in Cincinnati and people had a child starting kindergarten or first grade and they had been a stay-at-home mom and were considering going back to work, I would often say to them, if you can stay home one more year and organize your house like it's your job, it will pay dividends all the way through your child's rearing years. The thing that happens once your child goes to full-time school is that they stop playing with the majority of the toys at home. Now, we're recording this as we're going into summer, so don't purge all of your kids' toys in May, because in August, they're going to be bored and you're going to want every toy you possibly have. But by September, when they go back to school, you can literally purge 80% of their toys and a lot of other stuff. When your youngest one is in first grade, that's when you can really move the majority of their toys into their bedroom and maybe one remaining toy room or family room. But most likely with your youngest, if you have more than one child, there don't need to be toys anywhere else in the house anymore. They can all be in their bedroom. This phase of life, once you get your house organized and your youngest is in school all the time, your house, it just flows so well, so easily. You can make a grocery list and buy the same stuff every week because the kids have the certain kind of drinks that they like, and they don't tend to change a lot. From kindergarten through fifth grade, like, they're not going to change from apple juice to a different kind of juice, or whatever juice they like, whatever snacks they like, whatever your family meal time is like. That tends to be pretty constant during that 5-year span. It is glorious. It is so awesome. Then your child enters middle school, and really that can be an extension of grade school for a lot of kids. It really depends on the child when they start getting very independent in their actions. It will usually start to happen at the end of middle school and the beginning of high school. I was a 7th and 8th grade math and science teacher, and I loved this age grade also. What I love about 7th and 8th graders is they are starting to form their own opinions. And they are no longer parrots of their parents' political, religious, or all of those opinions. I love when kids are really struggling with how they grew up and how they see the world, and then ultimately what they decide to be as a young adult. You can literally, if you watch a middle school child, you can literally watch their brains processing and changing before your eyes. It is really, really fun. And I was a debater in high school, so I would show up for a debate and we would have to be able to argue either side of a debate. You would find out literally as you were going to start presenting your presentation which side you were fighting for. So I'm very good at seeing both sides of a situation, and what I love is the thought process. I would much rather you have an opinion politically, religiously, educationally, whatever, that you have thought through and made the decision for yourself, than that you align with me on the same decision just because somebody told you to or you've always done it that way. Like, I love debate. I love thought. I love new ideas. I just love seeing different perspectives. And I'm very open to, you know, taking that information in and deciding how that impacts my own views and changing them if they need to be changed. When you have a discussion with a middle school and a young high school child, that's what you're going to get. Also, inventors, inventions of a lot of the items that we love every day were created by 14-year-old boys. Now, this is going to change going forward, but the television was created by a 14-year-old boy. If you look at Microsoft and Apple, when those boys created those operating systems and everything, it came out of their 14, 15, 16-year-old years as high schoolers. It was not something that happened in their 20s, 30s, 40s. A lot of the big inventions that we see were created by 14-year-old boys. There is something about the way a 14-year-old boy brain works. This is not a girl-boy issue, just historically what I have noticed. Really, really interesting. And I often said to Joey when we were driving back and forth from school, and he would come up with different inventions and things like that, I would say, you know, 14-year-old boys, we should get all the 14-year-old boys in one room and listen to what they have to say, because there's just something about that year that there's a lot of creativity and a lot of invention that happens that year. I just love it. I love the possibilities in a middle school and young high school person's mind when they aren't really thinking about how they're going to financially provide for their future. They haven't really been impacted by political elections yet, and they really are very idealistic in their thinking. And I think we can always use some idealistic thinking. I just love those discussions. Then as high school grows on, and my children are both in the end of their high school years, I love to see the independence start to take shape. So it starts in middle school in the thoughts, and I think differently. But towards the end of high school and as children start to drive and look at their college choices and things like that, I spend a lot of time with my children figuring out what they want to do for the rest of their life so that they're happy. So Joey is going to college for audio engineering, and we bought him a soundboard as his graduation gift, and he already has an LLC, like he's a bona fide company, and he knows what he is going to do. I know so many kids go off to college undecided. I did not. I went to college to become a teacher, and I became a teacher. I know the majority of people pick colleges for various reasons, and they go in undecided, and they are still figuring out what they want to do. I personally really want to help my children discover what they want to do before they get to college. So for Abby this summer, we are actually going to travel to a community college and look at their culinary program. We've also gone to a couple of different hair styling schools and gotten applications from both of those, and she's had her hair done at both of those. We're looking into daycare center positions as well and having her work with children, see what she likes and doesn't like about those. And I find that, especially going forward, children are probably not going to have careers like my parents did, where you go and you work for one company and you stay there for 40 years. That kind of employment right now doesn't look like it's going to be sustainable in the long term. I think it might come back in the future, but right now that's not the environment I'm sending my children out into. It is much more of an entrepreneurial contractor type world. And so I'm trying to figure out what they really, really love doing. Now, will Joey be an audio engineer for his entire life? I have no idea. But I think it'll get him through his 20s. And so same with Abby. Will she be a culinary specialist for the rest of her life? I have no idea. But if she decides to do that, is that something she could do for 5 to 10 years after she graduates from college? Probably. So I love seeing my kids really start to take their beliefs and ideas and unique talents and figuring out how they can then turn that into a service that would meet the needs of our community and the world. And watching them really puzzle through, like, getting a car. So Joey has a Honda Civic because he wanted a sports car. He wanted a Dodge something. And so Greg and I found the absolute safest quote unquote sports car, which is a Honda Civic. And we're like, oh, it's 10 out of 10 on everything, Joey. You can get that one. And at first he wasn't so excited about that, but now he's very excited about it. Abby wants to have an SUV. So same thing. We're going to go through and figure out what is the safest SUV style that she likes. We don't care what color. We just want it to be safe. But letting them have some say in what kind of car they're going to have and where they're going to live and where they're going to go to college. But not just like they can pick whatever they want. They have to really think it through and talk with us about why it would be a good decision. I love this. I love this stage. I can't wait for my kids to get their college degrees and get their first apartments. Like, because Joey is going to a very, very small trade school, they do not have room and board. So he's actually going to get his own apartment. So this summer, we are going to furnish his apartment. He's super excited about figuring out what that is going to be. And I'm super excited about making all the checklists of everything we're going to need. And really launching them into adulthood with the tools and strategies they need. They get to make the decisions and we support them and help them in that. And then eventually they'll be done with college and they'll have their first home. They might get married. They might have children. I look forward to seeing how they grow and develop and how I can support them in all of those things. I am enjoying every season of parenting. And in every season of parenting, there is organization that goes along with that. And if you were starting to hear in the story, the organization is constantly changing from their bedroom to an apartment to a condo. And also, how do you organize all of their paperwork and things like that? But I wanted to really take a minute and have this conversation with you in the podcast about really enjoying every season that you're in. We can tend to, there's somebody I'm following online. She just had another baby. I'm like, oh, another baby. And I think, Lisa, are you crazy? No more babies. No more babies. We can enjoy seasons of life we've been through in the past, and that eventually I will be in that season again as a grandma someday, probably. If not, I'm okay with that too. But I am really, really enjoying the season I am currently in and looking for organizational solutions to get this season of life running as best as it can. So when you look at your home and organizing your life and what is working and what's not working, I tend to find what is not working is maybe what's not working is your car organization right now because you're in the car a lot. Or maybe it's your purse because you downsized your purse, but you're gone all day and you need to put some more things in your purse. Or maybe you're in a season where you're doing a lot of travel. And so it would be great to do what I talked about in the last podcast and come up with some travel necessities that are always packed so you don't have to think about those again. What are the specific organizational issues that you have that if you took one weekend and really organized that part of your life, it would make everything go smoother going forward? Enjoy every single season of life that you're in and know that the organization is going to continually need to be done and changed as you go through life. But that's okay. That's part of the fun of the journey. I'll see you next week.